Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Millennial Ben and Scott to Huff dialing up the Halloween there. Music.
I love it.
Rejoiners. Phantasma? Can't recall ever seeing that one. Never heard of it.
The music is great, though.
Yeah, very spooky. All right. Chad Brown in for Mark, who is in Seattle this weekend, calling Seahawks and Arizona. But before he left, he did leave us with his keys to victory, brought to you by Geeman Criminal Defense Online at GoAwayDUI.com. Remember, the key to your best defense is choosing the right lawyer.
Okay, you're playing the Chargers, so the keys to victory. Number one for Drew Lock: attack the boundary corner with vertical routes. That's a man-to-man corner on the backside when you're playing cover one or cover three, meaning a single high safety. So attack that guy and then put the curl flat defender in conflict. What does that mean? Well, the guy who's playing curl flat, if he plays short, throw it deep. If he plays deep, throw it short. It's pretty simple. And that's what they have to do. Run the ball and cover those guys or exploit those guys. Then number two, get after the quarterback, Herbert. Make sure you attack him, change up coverages. Make sure you give him multiple things to look at, multiple things that he has to deal with. If you do that, That'll give you the best chance to win this game against the Chargers.
Wow, look at our favorite lovable guard breaking it all down defensively. As you who played in the league for 15 years, three-time Pro Bowler, linebacker, what do you make of Mark's defensive strategies there?
Well, number one, I'll go second one first. Get after Justin Herbert. Yes, he's a young quarterback. I think that's... Mark didn't tap into some vein of football genius there.
No.
It's just, he's a young quarterback. Show him he has something he hasn't seen before. Mark mentioned changing things up. Yes, get after him, but constantly show him different coverage looks so he's adjusting on the fly. Now, you know, Justin Herbert is a really smart guy. I think a 4.0 student in biology. So I think some of this will be handled easily, but other parts, he's going to struggle with it because he hasn't seen that much of it. So that seems smart to me. And then as far as attacking the Chargers defense, in cover three, yeah, the backside corner, he's man-to-man. He's got the deep responsibility, and you can put him into conflicted situations, which can isolate him and take advantage of him. So whether it's that curl flat defender or that boundary corner, both those guys, you have an opportunity schematically with your play calling and your play design to make your reads easier for your quarterback. If the flat curl flat defender is deep, as Mark said, throw it short. It should be easy for Drew Lock to recognize who that player is, recognize what he's doing on that play, and then therefore know where to go exactly with the football based on what that player is doing. Don't let that player put you in conflict. He should reveal to you what the play is going to be. We just had Cecil on talking about Drew Lock making up his mind before the ball is even snapped. You can't do that against this team. You do that once the defenders reveal themselves. That's how you attack a cover three team like the Chargers.
All right, it's an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get some stuff off your chest, random observations, whatever, hot takes. Here's one. Is it just me, or does Evans have a crush on Herbert that rivals D-Mac's crush on Josh Allen? Actually, it is just you, because if you've listened to me this week talk about Justin Herbert, I have gone to great lengths to try to get out of whomever we're speaking to the idea that what Herbert's doing is kind of a fluke, an aberration, that he can't be this good this fast, that he can't be figuring it out this quickly, that there's got to be some sort of adjustment coming by the rest of the league now that there's five games of tape on him out there that the league is going to counter, he's going to struggle with, and reveal himself to be mortal, right? Because, no, I do not have a crush on Justin Herbert. If anything, I'm going to great lengths to try to find examples and reasons why this guy isn't a sure thing. Because if he is a sure thing, you're telling me for the next 10 to 15 years we got Mahomes and Herbert four times a year?
Wow.
So that's not a crush.
Wow.
That's that the icy fingers of panic starting to creep up my backside. That's what it is.
Wow. Yeah. I think you, I've heard you, I mean, obviously I did my segment yesterday. I've heard you a couple times this week. And I would say your recall of the facts is correct here. You even questioned me about, you know, my praise
yeah,
for Herbert
yesterday.
And,
yeah.
When is his, you know, comeuppance and coming?
These
you know.
15 minutes have got to end here, right?
Right. And to your point, you know, five games of starting now gives defensive coordinators plenty of tape to work off of. The NFL defensive coordinators specialize in putting you in positions to not be comfortable and to take away the things you've done successfully. And now you've got to learn and peel back the next layer of the playbook. And I think Justin Herbert is now going to be in that place. But again, he's got so many parts of this operating so well. The step of dealing with what defenses are bringing him, it's not going to interrupt his mechanics and his footwork and his fundamentals because he's got that part of it down.
Here's another one from Wade. Is it just me or is it confusing why Mike thinks Drew Lock is the future and struggles to see his flaws that can't be changed? First of all, Wade, I've never said, never. You will never be able to find it anywhere that I've said Drew Lock is a lock to be the quarterback of the future. All I've said repeatedly is that what he's done to this point, 4-1 last year, is at least make him the guy you want to see if he can be the guy. Okay? That's it.
My phrase has been he's earned the opportunity
to show if he can be the guy.
To show if he can be the
guy.
That's
it.
Yes.
That's all I've ever said. And that's still the way I feel. I guess where Wade is right is he says those are struggles and flaws that can't be changed. I want to believe that they can. And I guess that's the crux of the argument right now with Drew Lock. I acknowledge his poor mechanics. I acknowledge his poor decision making. I acknowledge that he's not seeing the field that well. What I want to know, and is why I love that you're sitting in here from a defensive perspective, what I want to know is, are those things that can be fixed? Are those things that can be changed? Are those things that can be mastered? And you'll answer that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Sylt Tahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Sylt Tahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Sylt Tahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Sylt Tahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Sylt Tahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Suspiria? Why am I not recognizing these horror movies and the music? Phantasma? Phantasm? Phantasm? Suspiria? When am I going to hear...
Suspiria.
Suspiria. When am I going to hear Friday the 13th?
Why?
When am I going to hear?
You should hear Ben
Halloween.
Getting mad at you guys right now. He's all, "How have you not heard of Suspiria? You uncultured swine!" That's Ben.
Oh, because I'm 50, Ben. That's
Ben's
why.
Over there. I'm working with
animals. That's my answer. I'm 50 years old, dude. Even better.
All right. It's from the 70s?
It is. All right.
Hold on the text line, start blasting us with the best horror movies, because I've never heard
now,
of
now, there is things. A song that's been requested on the text line that hasn't showed up yet.
What?
It's not from a movie.
What is it?
It's DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
We have it. We have it.
All right, get
Nightmare
it.
On...
My Street.
My Street.
Right.
Well, all right, I'll tell you what. All right, fade that back in. Fade that back in. All right, we'll get to that a little bit later on.
All right,
I want to get to, and is it just me Friday? And Wade, who said, is it just me or it's confusing why you, Evans, refuse to see that his struggles and his flaws can't be changed. Yeah, I guess I do struggle with that, because that's sort of been my question all week long, Chad, and I love the fact that you're here, staying in for Stink, because of your defensive background and the way you look at offensive players, study them and everything like that, scout them. So what you're telling me is this guy is what he is. He can't change. He can't improve. He can't work to... Call me naive, but I would think that, I guess, and please don't hesitate, I know you won't, but I would think that if you're talking about a world-class athlete, which is what we're talking about here, then he should be able to work on, improve, and fix footwork and throwing mechanics and with experience be able to see the field. No?
Okay. Chances are the answer is no. It's not impossible, but the instances of a player successfully losing the worst parts of their game and only accentuating the best parts from their college experience is pretty slim. And if you just...
Why?
I think as athletes, we become, particularly at the quarterback position, by the time you get to the NFL, how many pass drops has Drew Lock taken? A couple hundred thousand, probably. It's just so wired and ingrained, and once the pressure starts happening, particularly for a guy who probably thinks of himself as a gunslinger type, not a precision quarterback, not a, you know, take what the defense gives you guy. No, I get after. I attack the defense. I take chances. I take risks. Their natural inclination then is to take a risk. And so it's not based on proper footwork. It's not Peyton Manning take what the defense gives him. It's this gunslinger attitude, which lends itself to not great mechanics and not great footwork. But just looking at the schedule for this weekend, obviously Carolina and the Falcons played last night. Teddy Bridgewater came out of college flawed. Guess what? We saw last night, he's still flawed. Buffalo and New England play this weekend. Josh Allen got together for a couple of games early this season, now seems to have reverted back to the worst parts of his game from last year, which mirrored the worst parts of his game at Wyoming.
You told D-Mac this.
You know,
or are you trying to shelter him? Trying to protect her. Protect his.
Last
his
time
feelings.
I was on with D-Mac, Josh Allen was still playing well.
Yeah.
So I admitted that I was wrong about Josh Allen because he was the rare unicorn that actually turned it around.
But now you're thinking were ultimately originally right.
Correct.
Okay.
That my, you know, giving D-Mac the credit that I was wrong in doing that. That I was right where I was before. So going down the rest of the league, as you look at all these teams and these quarterbacks who came in the league with issues, those issues are still showing up. And guys like Jared Goff, who got off for the track for a little bit, is now back on it, now playing well because he came out of college prepared with these fundamentals and basics already down. Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles in Chicago. We knew they were flawed when they came out of college. Everyone was shocked the Bears moved up to pick Mitch Trubisky where they got him. And guess what happens? Mitch Trubisky from college showed up. Nick Foles from college showed up.
So the muscle memory of what you are conditioned to do, I guess starting in Pop Warner, high school, college, it becomes so ingrained that if you haven't mastered it by the time you get out of college, that at the pro level you can't.
Not during the season. It takes a dedicated offseason to rebuild yourself.
Okay.
After year 8 in Seattle, the Seahawks flew me out to Annapolis to do some testing that the Air Force does because I was getting concussions, and it was clear that, you know, the NFL didn't have the heightened awareness they have about concussions now, but they were getting concerned. So I worked that offseason to take my face in my head out of the game as best as I could. I knew there was no way I was going to change my play. I wasn't going to get back from Annapolis on a Tuesday and then that Wednesday try to keep my head out of it and be able to do that the rest of the season. I said, let me just play the way that I play, and I will spend this entire offseason trying to find a way to reduce the way that I use my head as a linebacker. But there's no way I could do that during the season. You're too busy focused on game prep and preparation. Okay. And getting your body prepared.
But did you do it?
To a certain extent, mean, it was probably a 3-year project. I was in year 12 before that was completed.
But we see professional golfers change their swings. We see guys enter the NBA who are not good 3-point shooters, work their way into becoming very good 3-point shooters. So the thing I like about Locke is that he seems to want this, right? As evidence that came out in the broadcast, how he's been talking a lot with Kurt Warner, and Warner's message has been footwork. Okay. So to me, that's encouraging that the guy seems to want it.
That's a prerequisite.
And you may think, well, everybody wants it. Well, no, not everybody wants it. Hello, Paxton Lynch. Thank you. Are you familiar with this? The Paxton Lynch smear campaign?
No,
Mark and I have taken it upon ourselves to smear Paxton Lynch every single day, just because he deserves it. And this is now day number 2083. Don't do the math. Don't try to do the math, because just live in the land of make-believe with us, okay? So that's day number 2083. But I never got the sense that Paxton Lynch, you know, was reaching out to people saying, I really want to be good. I realize these are my deficiencies. I need to work on them. So I'm encouraged by the fact that Locke seems to want to get better. So here's what you're telling me. And you're kind of sending me a mixed message, so clear it up for me here. Because on one hand, you're saying you can't really fix what you were coming out of college. But yet, on the other hand, you're saying it can be fixed, but it's going to take a lot of dedication during an off season or two. So what is it?
It can. It's in the realm of possibility. But the track record shows it doesn't happen very often.
Okay. Even with putting in all the dedicated work during the offseason.
Someone on the text line says, Chad, you're wrong. Look at Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Brett Favre was a wild horse that needed to be tamed. He had all the prerequisite skills. And Aaron Rodgers was clearly one of the most talented quarterbacks of generations to get into the NFL. They just were concerned about some of the things from the offensive style he played at Cal.
Relax.
Very different than this Drew Lock deal.
Okay. All right. I'm going to remain hopeful that if somebody is dedicated enough to it, is hardworking enough, and is committed to it, that he can improve those deficiencies.
Good for you, bud.
Yeah, he's hoping for it, too. Okay, we've got four down territory coming your way. We'll hear from Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Kareem Jackson, and based on what we saw last night, maybe that Falcons game isn't going to be a layup. That's next.
Be quiet, I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal file, 69, offense, he's giving him the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, bread. First down.
This guy's just very talented. It looks to me like he's made up of the right stuff to be a quarterback in the NFL. And fortunate for them and unfortunate for us, I think they found their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Okay. Now, when I say Patrick Mahomes is the boogeyman and Patrick Mahomes is going to be, you know, torturing the Broncos and Broncos country for the next 15 years, I'm accused of being a fearmonger. Evans, you're fear-mongering. Well, then, what is it when Vic Fangio comes on and basically says the same thing about Justin Herbert?
It's just
and
truthful.
And he's never said it about Locke.
Well, tall.
Fear-mongering.
It's truthful on both sides. I don't think Drew Locke has showed what Justin Herbert has to make Vic Fangio say that. And then, based on what we've seen for Justin Herbert, small sample size, I know, that clearly seems to be the case.
You can finish your point.
Okay.
You're done? I was talking to Millennial Ben. Don't worry. You'll understand here where I'm going in a second.
All right. No, that was it.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, I just...
All right, well...
I hear what speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that
I'll
have.
I'll explain this afterwards here. We're just taking care of a contractual obligation here. Hold on. Turn that up.
Phenomena.
All right, so you're confused. I can tell what's going on. You're wondering.
I'm lucky.
All right,
to know.
So here's the thing. Since we say so many nice things about Patrick Mahomes, we try to soften the blow. So we have a contractual obligation with Broncos Country that whenever we say something nice about Patrick Mahomes, we play that from the Muppet character Dr. Teeth. Because Mahomes sounds like that.
Right, he does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it helps soften the blow a little bit. So
welcome to Bronco Land.
So on one hand, we're saying something nice and complimentary about Mahomes, but then we're softening it with something that hopefully makes people smile.
So got it.
That's what we did right
you
there.
You guys are children on this show.
Yes, we are. And we own that.
Next, you
do. Next in 4. Yes, you do.
Oh my.
Next in 4-down territory.
Second down.
You maybe get one or two or maybe even three, at the most, 4 unscouted looks that you don't see by watching tape. You know, every team holds something back, you know. But, you know, you give that simulation in practice. And, you know, with those types of throws. You know, we just don't make up plays on Sunday that we haven't practiced during the week.
You know, I know a lot of people, there's Pat Shurmur, a lot of people want Drew Lock to flash this week. That it's important that Drew Lock show those tantalizing displays of brilliance, right? You know what? I look at it completely opposite. I want him to go out and be boring and efficient and just sharp. Meaning, you know,
ball security is job security.
20 of 27, 225 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. The offense is efficient. The offense puts up 24, 27 points. There are no, you don't come out of the performance going, wow, did you see that throw? But it was precise. It was competent. The ball was going where the ball was supposed to go. It was safe. I would much rather prefer that than, whoa, wow, did you see that throw? Man, that was electrifying. I don't need that right now. I need to see him be able to do the boring, efficient, competent, precise type of quarterbacking that we haven't seen from him this year.
I think that's a great wish. I don't think that's possible for
really?
This week.
He can't play boring and efficient and precise? Why not?
Because he's not...
All I'm saying is dumb it down.
Okay, then say that.
Okay, yes. Dumb it down so that he can play like that.
I think so he can be closer to that, but he's... Just from a mentality perspective, I don't think Drew's going to approach this game with saying to himself, he's not going to be looking in the mirror on Saturday night before he, you know, gets on his knees and says his prayers as he's brushing his teeth. He's not going to say, I just got to be efficient tomorrow.
Why not? Why not?
Because that's not the attitude that's gotten Drew to where he is.
Well, I think he's going to have to change his attitude.
Right, but I don't think it's going to happen in 1 week, Mike. It's going to take some time.
Okay.
It's possible.
All right, then. Okay, how about this? So if the whole buzzword this week is like, I'm looking for flashes from Drew. I'm looking for those kind of flashes versus the, oh, my God, did you see that kind of throw flash?
I want to see good quarterback play. I don't need to see great.
Right.
Just show me good.
Okay.
And we'll go with that.
Next in 4-down territory.
Third down. I'm pretty impressed. But at the same time, not really a shocker or a surprise. He showed a lot of ability in camp. You know, so kind of expecting him to come in and play well. You know, he has all the tools. It's just all a matter of, you know, him just paying attention to the little details and just being consistent in what he do on a daily basis.
There's Kareem Jackson talking about the rookie Michael Ojemudia, who's had a strong rookie season. Where would you put the odds that Kareem Jackson's getting ready to play his last game as a Bronco?
Ooh.
With the trade deadline on Tuesday.
And no! God, please, no!
And are there any other Bronco vets that you think could be playing their last game as a Bronco?
We've seen the trade market over the last couple of years pick up quite a bit. And so the NFL is definitely more into trades now. But I said this yesterday, talking to Sandy and O, I don't think the rest of the league sees the Bronco players or views them as highly as we do here. I mean, there's a reason why this team has struggled for the last several years. It's not because they've been loaded with talent. So while we may think certain players are great, I don't think they necessarily always stack up with the rest of the players across the league at their position.
But Kareem Jackson would be a nice pickup for
the right team. Kareem Jackson is a guy who I think would work.
Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons, does he bring the same value that his contract indicates? I'm not seeing that here in 2020. So you start going down this roster and looking at some of these guys who we think of as such great players. I don't think the rest of the league sees them the same way. Clearly, Shelby Harris thought of himself one regard, and his contract showed him that's the opposite situation. I think that's a case with a lot of these guys when viewed nationally around the league. We love them here in Denver because we love the Broncos. Therefore, you're a Bronco player. We love you. But the reality is you don't stack up in the top five at your position.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
The offensive line is doing a great job for us. TG in the backfield doing a great job. Matt Ryan's doing a good job for us. So, like, and we got guys to make plays on the outside. We have to score touchdowns. Not depending on who we playing, just for our sake, who we are as a unit, we got to score touchdowns.
Yeah, Julio Jones back to being Julio Jones again. 7 catches, 137 yards. In the Falcons' 25-17 win over the Panthers last night. Now the Falcons get to hang out and rest for 10 days until they host the Broncos. Now, I was never looking at this Falcons game as a layup, but I was certainly looking at this game as like, hey, that's a really winnable game.
I was with you. And now I'm not.
Now I'm not either.
Raheem Moore should be 3-0 as a head coach. If Todd Gurley goes down the goal line.
Hold on. You just said. He who shall not be named.
Woo, okay. Spoke too quick. My bad.
Let's just talk about that guy in Harry Potter. Okay, why don't we just bring up his name too?
My bad.
All right?
My bad.
Raheem. Oh, jeez. Go ahead, fix it.
No, you got me all shook up.
Say it.
What's his
Raheem Morris.
There we go. Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, should be 3-0. He's 2-1. If Todd Gurley had fell down before the end zone last week against the Detroit Lions, Raheem Morris would be 3-0 as the head coach of Atlanta Falcons.
Do you realize how many days you just ruined by mentioning that name?
Just mind-boggling.
Now people are thinking of that name.
Yes.
Thinking of that moment.
Yes.
Those people who were at the game, how cold it was that day.
Yes. People were trying to have a fantastic Friday.
Yeah.
And I brought up some old stuff and just
ruined it.
Ripped the scab off.
Good job, Chad.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Chad.
I don't want to bring up bad stuff on a Friday.
Man, I'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning. We'll try to wash that bad taste out of our mouth. We'll visit with Troy Rank joining us next. Oh, no. See, I recognize this one. Millennial Ben finally putting one in our wheelhouse.
Something we know.
Is it Camp Crystal? Crystal Lake? Camp Crystal Lake? Jason. I mean, you talk about jumping the shark. You know that Jason ended up going into space? Seriously. Like, by the time they got to, like, Friday the 13th, part 13, he was going to space. He was. He was in space.
It's science.
Yeah.
I missed that particular.
Yeah, I missed that one too.
Yeah, I fell off after, I think.
Maybe I'll just have
the third Friday.
Maybe I'll
the 13th.
Just devote my entire weekend to watching all the Friday the 13th. Talk about a.
Don't do it.
Talk about time I'll never ever get
no,
back.
No, don't do it.
No, I won't do it. I won't do it. Instead, spending my time here with Chad Brown filling in for Mark and spending our time with Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, who is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
What did you make of Vic Fangio coming out and saying that the Chargers have their guy for the next 10 to 15 years? That's pretty sobering.
Yeah, the juxtaposition was fascinating to me because he was being honest and he's like, listen, fortunately for them and unfortunately for us, it looks like they've found their guy for the next 10 to 15 years, and I'm thinking the Broncos are trying to figure out if they've got their guy for the next 10 games. I mean, that's just how different the franchises are right now. And, you know, Justin Herbert has earned the praise. He's the AFC Offensive Rookie of the Month, 10 touchdowns, one pick, a 122 passer rating. And he, you know, I text Chris Harris about him a couple weeks ago because one of the things about Herbert was, could he be a leader at the next level? Because he didn't demonstrate necessarily that consistently in college in terms of his personality. And Chris said, yeah, he's quiet. He's a kid, but all he does is throw dimes in practice and run well. Like, he was just amazed at how good he was from jump. And we've seen that. He compares physically. I mean, I know Chad does a lot of college football. He compares physically to Trevor Lawrence. He might be thicker. He's 6'6", 236 pounds. I mean, I didn't see this. I mean, obviously, he's got crazy talent. I didn't see him doing this well this early, but, man, has he played well.
Troy, Mike and I have been talking during the break here about which part of this Broncos football team is headed in the right direction. Whether we're talking about the quarterback who seems to have taken a step back, whether we're talking about Vic Fangio in the locker room and that Shelby Harris thing last week, a player actually lunging at a coach. Give us some good news on this Friday before Halloween, something that's not scary, something that's going in the right direction for this ball club.
Yeah, the one thing they've done well, Chad, over the last 3 weeks is run the football. And I think that's something, especially if Phillip Lindsay plays, which he's trending in the right direction as of now. They need to run first and pass off the run, create play action. But they've run the football well the last 3 weeks. And Phillip Lindsay in particular, the last 2 weeks, has run the ball well. So that's one thing. And Malik Reed and Bradley Chubb have rushed the passer well. Malik Reed's, you know, 4 sacks in 2 games for an undrafted free agent. He's really blossoming here. And I'm not shocked. I saw a little bit of Shaq Barrett in his game in terms of where Shaq went from his first year to his second year. I could see some of that from Malik. They're a little different size-wise, but just how, you know, the light bulb continued to go on for Malik. But those are two things I would mention as positives, that they have shown the capability to run the ball. They get away from it too soon, especially last week. And Malik Reed specifically has really blossomed.
You mentioned you were talking to Chris Harris Jr. How's it working for him now with the Chargers?
Well, he liked it. He was comfortable. I was texting him when he was on Hard Knocks, because I love that show. It's just Hard Knocks this year was just impossible because they didn't have preseason games. That whole show is built around storylines and guys getting cut when there's no preseason. It's just hard to do a show off of that. But I did see Chris on there and Austin Eckler. Chris enjoyed it. It's just he's hurt, and that's been unfortunate. He got rolled up on, 3-4 weeks ago, so he's still waiting to get back. But I was hopeful to see him play against the Broncos. I know he was looking forward to it. But, you know, again, he likes Coach Lynn, and he felt like it was a good spot. It's just unfortunate because he's a guy who rarely misses time, and he's dealing with an injury.
All right, Troy. When the schedule came out, looking at these two games, the Chargers and the Falcons, I think a lot of folks here in Bronco Country were like, okay, you know, those are going to be some winnable games. But now the story is the emergence of Justin Herbert and the comparison against Drew Lock, and now for the Falcons in 2 weeks, after firing Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris is now 2-1 and should really be 3-0. So these two games, which seem like such winnable opportunities for the Broncos, are now far more challenging. I guess my question here is, can you see the Broncos responding to this challenge over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they're at the intersection of contention and relevancy right here. Like, if you are unable to beat the Chargers, you're not a contender. It's over for me. I mean, at that point, you're 2-5, and there's just not enough winnable games on the schedule. And here's the issue, Chad. You're 2-4, and you haven't won a home game yet. And I know we're playing during a pandemic, and the crowd isn't the issue, but you still should have an advantage playing at home and at altitude. And so you've got to see it as a challenge. I've asked players that multiple times, Chad, is there a sense of urgency to this game? Because to me, you're right at the crossroads of having a season where you can hang around and you're in it till December. And sometimes, you know, Chad, if you win a couple games, you start to overachieve, you start to believe. If you lose this game, then you look at the schedule. They're underdogs in this game. They're underdogs at the Falcons, according to the first lines posted. Where are the winnable games then? I mean, you thought Miami, maybe, if Tua doesn't play well. Carolina, maybe. I mean, you start looking at games, where are the wins? So these two, for me, if you want to be relevant, you have to win these two. Now, if you lose this and you lose it in ugly fashion, maybe you sell off a part or two before the deadline. I'm not sure who that would be necessarily. You know, whether it's Shelby Harris, would you go big with Justin Simmons if you don't think you can re-sign him? I mean, that would be maybe a conversation you have, because they were talking about being buyers before they got smoked by the Chiefs. But, yeah, Chad, you're right. If you can't beat the Chargers at home, then you have to start wondering if you have any chance to contend, and then really it's just a complete developmental season. I mean, they would never say that, but that would be the reality.
All right, Troy, we'll talk to you on Sunday as part of our pregame show. Thank you very much.
Look forward to it. Take care. See you.
All right. Thanks, Troy. Troy Brown, presented by ROX Rocks.
Troy Brown.
Did I say Troy Brown?
You did say Troy Brown.
Troy Rank.
Raheem Moore.
Troy Rank, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Chad Brown, sitting in for Mark Schlereth. See, easy mistake.
When I was on my recruiting trip to BYU, Lavelle Edwards.
Yes.
Kept calling me Clay Brown.
Clay Brown.
Who was a tight end who caught that pass in, I think, in 84 and 85 when BYU had a really good season. So at least he called me a successful player's name.
Uh-huh.
But it certainly didn't make the rest of the recruiting trip go well when he continued to refer to me as Clay Brown.
You were recruited to Brigham Young?
A guy from my high school went there the year before, was having a successful time. So they tried to bring in a number of guys from my high school the years after that. And, they told me, hey, we'll play you at outside linebacker. You'll set the whack sack record by the time you leave here. This will be great. And I believed it. I was really interested in becoming a Cougar.
Really?
A Brigham Young Cougar.
BYU was huge back then. I mean, that was...
Yes, and then I got home.
They had some great quarterbacks back then.
And, you know, my black father said, really? BYU, this is what you want to do?
How about new?
Oh, so you said, let's go to Boulder instead.
Well,
right.
You know, my dad asked both coaches the question of how many non-athlete African-American students are on campus. The country, the question clearly made Lavelle Edwards uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And Coach Mack, you know, being Coach Mack, knocked the answer out of the park.
So, right.
Yeah. That was satisfying enough for my dad.
So what it was, so what, who did it come down to? CU, BYU,
Arizona. Cal. I didn't want to study my butt off and lose every weekend.
Right.
Cal wasn't very good. Then,
right,
so
right.
Arizona was building something, you know, during my time, Desert Swarm became the thing when I was at Colorado. So if I would have been in Arizona, I would have been a part of that.
Yep.
My friend who went to BYU had some success there, but yeah, obviously I clearly made the right choice.
Oh.
4 Big A titles, a national championship. I live here in the state. You know, I married a girl from CU. My kids both gone to CU. I got a job in my chosen profession. I don't think you can draw up a better college experience than that.
Amen.
So, yeah, I made the right choice.
I think you did the right thing.
Well, really, my parents pushed me to make the right choice. Because in my heart, I wanted to go to USC. I wanted to be a Trojan so bad.
Yeah, well, you're a Southern California guy.
Right. But one night during the recruiting process, we're at dinner. The phone rings. My dad answers the phone. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Chad's leaving the state. Hangs the phone up. Dad, who was that? Oh, that was USC. Okay, I guess that's out.
He didn't want you to go to USC?
No, he wanted me to leave the state.
Figured you need to leave the nest.
Grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
Get away from my friends who weren't on the same path in life that I was on, to say it nicely.
Right.
So leave those knucklehead friends behind and grow up. And again, I can't think of a better college experience when you draw it up than what I had. So, absolutely the right choice.
Your old man knew.
He knew something. I give him lots of credit. He was on the right path about something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You stay at home, you go to USC, and everyone's around, and, you know.
My knucklehead friends are visiting me on campus. Somebody does something dumb.
Yeah.
I get in trouble, or I try to go home every weekend during my redshirt year, and something happens at home. It was the best choice for me to become a Colorado Buffalo. And literally, as Coach Mack said as he sat on my parents' couch, Chad, you becoming a Colorado Buffalo is going to be the springboard for the rest of your life. It seemed like Coach's words then, but it's literally exactly what happened. Even the stuff that I do off the field, I met a friend in Boulder who, you know, inspired this whole reptile thing. And that's not what I do as a business. You know, I'm in the animal space because of that connection that came from being in Boulder. So it literally has been the springboard for the rest of my life.
So folks, I always love spending time with Chad because he's in the reptile business. Reptiles scare the bleep out of me. You know, the big snakes, hate snakes. And the fact that you work with, hold, caress.
Caress is a
fight.
Strong word.
Stare down these huge reptiles. Like whenever I have a conversation with anybody about a snake, you know, and everybody's like, you know, has their own feelings about snakes. So snakes, the conversation around snakes is always a conversation that a lot of people have, right? People talk about snakes a lot, right? So whenever I talk about snakes and my fear of snakes and my hatred of snakes, I always bring you up. And I tell the story about, well, you tell the story.
Well, before we get to that.
First of all, this is KKFN.
Do you
want to do it?
You stole it.
You want to do it?
Finish it
no,
up.
No.
KKFN. Yeah. KKFN, HD1, One. Longmont, Denver.
Boom!
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.